You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Wednesday to you. It's time for our comprehensive primer. We're going to break down this Baltimore Ravens football team and dig into the challenges ahead for the Buffalo Bills as they are one win away from appearing in the AFC Championship game. Let's start with the nuts and bolts. The Buffalo Bills will play host to the Baltimore Ravens in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs, and a berth in the AFC Championship game is on the line. The game will be played on Saturday, January 16th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time at Bills Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. The game will be televised on NBC. Al Michaels is on the play-by-play. Chris Collinsworth is the game analyst, and Michelle Tafoya is the sideline reporter. I've said it a million times on this podcast, NBC is the best football broadcast experience you can have. Al Michaels is elite on play-by-play. I really like Chris Collinsworth, but it's really about the angles, the consistency of replays, the information, the graphics. NBC has figured out how to televise a football game, and I implore all of the other networks to take notes and figure out how to replicate it. It will be the 10th time that the Bills and Ravens have met. The Bills have 3 wins and 6 losses in the previous 9 meetings. Sean McDermott has coached against these Ravens twice, and both were losses. The first time was Week 1, 2018. Nate Peterman started the game. Josh Allen came in. The Bills lost 47-3. It was Josh Allen's NFL debut. Allen and Peterman combined to go 11 for 33 for 98 yards with 2 interceptions. Both of those were thrown by Peterman. Last season, the Bills and Ravens played, and the Ravens won 24-17. The Bills did a good job on Lamar Jackson, held him to under 200 total yards, but they couldn't score enough points. I think this Bills team is very different than the one that played the Ravens last year, and I think in a lot of ways the Ravens team has some differences as well. The Bills enter this game 14-3 as the number 2 seed in the AFC playoffs, and the Ravens are 12-5 as the number 5 seed. Let's recap the Ravens' wins and losses. Their 12 wins came against the Browns twice, Texans, Washington football team, Bengals twice, Eagles, Colts, Cowboys, Jaguars, Giants, and Titans. Their 5 losses came to the Chiefs, twice to the Steelers, the Patriots, and the Titans. Head coach of this football team is John Harbaugh, 58 years old. He's in his 13th season as the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens. He holds a 129-79 regular season record, 11-7 in the playoffs, only 1 losing season in 13 years on the job, 8 double-digit win campaigns, and he was the Super Bowl champion coach in 2012. 30-7 is John Harbaugh with Lamar Jackson as his quarterback. How did John Harbaugh get here? Well, he was a college assistant at Western Michigan, Pittsburgh, Morehead State, and Indiana from 1984 to 1997. The Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, hired him to be their special teams coordinator in 1998. He held that position until 2006. He was the Eagles' DB coach in 2007 and hired to be the Ravens' head coach in 2008, and he's held the position since. The Ravens were flagged 104 times this year. That's 28th in the NFL. They're actually worse than the Bills when it comes to penalties called against them. And then, of course, John Harbaugh has challenged 111 plays in his career and won 49 of those. Quarterback of this football team is the reigning NFL MVP, Lamar Jackson, 6'2", 212 pounds. He just turned 24 years old. He was a number 32 overall pick in the 2018 NFL draft. Like I mentioned, the Baltimore Ravens are 30-7 with him as the starting quarterback. He has a career completion percentage of 64%. and a career passer rating of 102.6. He's also rushed for over 1,000 yards in each of the last two seasons. This year, he's completing 64.4% of his passes, 2,757 passing yards, 26 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and a passer rating of 99.3. And of course, you have to consider the 1,000 rushing yards that he also tallied this season. His average time to throw, 2.98 seconds. That is the fourth slowest in the NFL behind Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen. When Lamar Jackson gets the football out of his hands in less than 2.5 seconds, which only happens on 39.2% of his dropbacks, he's completing 69.7% of his passes, a passer rating of 86.8, and that is very poor because an 86.8 passer rating is 36th in the NFL. So Lamar Jackson, as you'll find out here in just a moment, he's much better when he kind of holds onto the football a little bit longer, lets routes develop, sees things a little bit more clearly, plays off script, gets on the move, and when he does that, he's more effective. And in fact, when he holds onto the football for more than 2.5 seconds, which is 61% of the time, he has 112 passer rating, which is third best in the NFL, trailing only Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. His intended air yards per attempt is 8.6. That is seventh in the NFL, so when he does throw the football, he throws it down the field. 13.8% of his attempts are targeted at least 20 yards down the field. That is the fifth most in the NFL. And on those passes, when they're aimed at least 20 yards down the field, he's 18 of 52, 582 yards, 6 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, passer rating of 92, which is 21st in the NFL. When it comes to accuracy, his on-target percentage is 75.3. That's 25th in the NFL. His bad throw percentage is 17.6. That's 13th in the NFL. Play action, that's a big part of what they do. 35.7% of Lamar Jackson's passing attempts are play action, third most in the NFL. His splits are nearly identical with and without play action, with the exception of yards per attempt. That actually increases from 6.8 to 8.8, so 2 additional yards per attempt for Lamar Jackson when it's play action. Under pressure, he is under pressure a reasonable amount, 21% of his dropbacks, 21st in the NFL. That's actually tied with Josh Allen. So the frequency in which Josh Allen faces pressure is the same as Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson is kept clean, he completes 69.4% of his passes, 7.4 yards per attempt, passer rating of 106.3. When he faces pressure, his completion percentage dips down to 52.3%, 7.1 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 75.3. So a 30-point drop in passer rating when he's clean compared to when he's under pressure. When he's not blitzed, he completes 66.7% of his passes, 7.4 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 98.7. When he is blitzed, he has a completion percentage of 59.2, 7.1 yards per attempt, and a passer rating of 95.4. You're unique, and so are your taxes. TurboTax Live has experienced tax experts who listen to you, learn about your unique tax situations, and answer your questions. And on top of all that, they can do your taxes from start to finish. Maybe you started investing and want some reassurance from an expert that you're doing things right. Maybe you're now self-employed and need some expert advice on what qualifies as a home office deduction. Or maybe you'd rather have an expert file your taxes for you so you can focus on what matters most. No matter what your situation is, TurboTax Live tax experts can answer your questions, give tax advice, review your return before you file, or even just do it all for you. TurboTax Live gives you confidence that your uniquely you taxes are done right. Intuit TurboTax Live. File with the help of an expert or let an expert file for you. The offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens is Greg Roman, 48 years old. He's in his fourth year as the offensive coordinator for the Ravens. Before that, he was the Bills offensive coordinator in 2015 and 2016, 49ers offensive coordinator from 2011 until 2014. When it comes to the 2020 Ravens, They're scoring 29 points per game. That's seventh best in the NFL. They convert 48.8% of their third downs. That's fourth best in the NFL. 363 total yards per game. That's 19th. 192 rushing yards per game. That is first. And 171 passing yards per game. That is dead last, 32. So the number one rush offense and the number 32 pass offense. Their weapons. Well, you got to talk about Lamar Jackson again because he's not just a passer. He's a great runner. Like I said, over 1,000 yards each of the last two seasons. This year, over 6 yards per carry. J.K. Dobbins is their lead running back. He's a rookie out of Ohio State. He was my RB1 in the draft from last year. I don't know if you guys remember that. I had pounded the table for him and Jonathan Taylor with the Bills' second-round pick. But he's having a great year for the Ravens, 805 yards, 6 yards per carry. He took that job from Mark Ingram. He's a much more effective runner than Mark Ingram, who has been a really good back for the Ravens the previous two seasons. But J.K. Dobbins has emerged, and over 800 rushing yards, 6 yards per carry for him, 3.47 yards after contact on average. So this is a guy that is physical and tough to bring down. Gus Edwards gets his share of carries as well, 723 rushing yards this year. That's 5 yards per carry on average, and he averages 3.28 yards after contact per rush. So Lamar Jackson has all the speed in the world to really stress you horizontally. J.K. Dobbins is an inside and outside runner that has great vision and contact balance. He runs angry. And Gus Edwards is a tank. He's a battering ram that if he has a runway, he's a load to bring down. And this Ravens rush offense has produced over 3,000 rushing yards this year and 24 rushing touchdowns. They are exceptional at running the football. Their tight end is Mark Andrews. He's one of the better tight ends in the NFL. I think he's definitely a top 8 tight end in the league. Lamar Jackson loves finding him in the middle of the field. He had a couple issues with drops this year, but for the most part, he's very productive, very consistent, has good size, athleticism, and ball skills. Their wide receivers, you know, they still throw the football to wide receivers. I know this is very much a running back and tight end and Lamar Jackson-centric offense, but they have Marquise Brown, their first-round pick from a couple of years ago. He has unbelievable speed, real threat to kind of get down the field and get behind the secondary. Their number two receiver is Willie Snead, who's, you know, kind of a very average get open, catch the football, nothing spectacular, nothing overly flashy. He's not overly dynamic, but he's a veteran. They also have Miles Boykin and Dez Bryant. Miles Boykin's a young player out of Notre Dame, very raw coming out of Notre Dame. He hasn't produced much for them, and they also have Dez Bryant. You guys know him. Obviously, he's late into his career. He's not the same dynamic dude that he was with the Cowboys, but he's an experienced guy that brings size and physicality to their wide receiver room. So, you know, you got all those running backs. You got Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews is key. Marquise Brown, Willie Snead. That's kind of their focal point of their offense, those weapons there. Their offensive line is really fascinating because, you know, this team lost Marshall Yanda, their right guard, a Hall of Fame caliber player. He retired. Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, who is absolutely an elite player in the NFL, one of the best offensive tackles in the NFL. He's out for the year. You know, they've had a lot of issues with this group in terms of guys being available. They've been through several different options at center. They've been through a couple different options at right guard. Obviously, with Orlando Brown flipping from right tackle to left tackle, they've had to play DJ Fluker. So, look, not the guys they thought they would have entering the year, but this unit is absolutely performing. Let's go through it position by position. Left tackle is Orlando Brown. He's an outstanding right tackle. He seamlessly moved over to left tackle and getting the job done over there. Bradley Bozeman's the only guy on this team that has started every game at the same position. He's an Alabama offensive lineman that has come in and been a starter for them for the last few years. Patrick McCary is their center. He's played quite a bit over the last few years because Matt Skura hasn't been able to stay healthy. And he's wound up being a very good backup for them. Ben Powers is a physical run blocker at right guard. And then Tyree Phillips could be the right tackle if DJ Fluker's not able to go. But either one of those guys, big, massive, road-grading offensive tackles. So all of these guys, none of them are athletic. They're very poor athletes, but they're big, physical maulers across the board, and really complements what they have in Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards to create that space and let those guys go to work. Now, they're not going to stress you with their athletic ability, but my goodness, they all have length and they all have a ton of power. So going to be a big boy game for the Bills front seven against this Ravens offensive line and rushing attack. So what are my keys for the Bills defense against this Ravens offense? Number one, I wrote down, don't play on your heels. This isn't a game where you can afford to be passive, where you can afford to let the game come to you. You need to key, diagnose, trigger, and go all out. You're going to maybe make some mistakes, but my goodness, if you're going to play on your heels, you're going to look silly against this offense. Number two, I wrote down, be aggressive but disciplined. That's tough, right? Be aggressive but disciplined. Again, you have to go after these guys, but you also have to fill your assignment and do your job. You can't be so aggressive that you're vacating your responsibility or you're selling out, shooting a gap that takes you out of where you're supposed to be. You have to maintain your rush integrity, your gap integrity, but you have to be aggressive and get after their weapons, right? Whether that's Lamar Jackson or J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards or whoever, you have to get after them, but you have to do that while doing your 111th. So this is very much a do-your-job game. Be aggressive, but you got to be disciplined. Number three, I just wrote down, put your big boy pants on. This game's about run fits. It's about competing for your gap. It's about tackling and getting guys on the ground that are physical. You got to have the mentality of, I'm going to stick my face in a fan and like it for 60 minutes because these guys are going to bring it. They're going to have the mentality of, we're going to go punch those guys in the mouth and see if they quit, see how they respond. And if they don't respond the way we like it, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it again and again and again. So you're going to pony up and you're going to do your job. Are you going to respond or are you just going to take the beating? It's up to you. It's up to this Bills front seven to respond and take care of what they need to assignment-wise and match the physicality of a very physical Ravens offense. Are we ready for some football? The NFL playoffs are in full swing, and there is only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Maybe you want to put some cash down on the Bills this weekend, or you like another team's chances. Maybe you like to do prop bets. They've got it all over at betonline.ag with the best lines in the business. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action with our friends over at betonline.ag and make sure you use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens is Wink Martindale, 57 years old. He's in his third season as the defensive coordinator in Baltimore. Before that, he was the Ravens linebackers coach from 2012 to 2017. Previous to that, he was the linebackers coach for the Broncos and Raiders. He has coached this team to the number one scoring defense in the NFL each of the last 2 years. They've been top six in the NFL in pass defense all three seasons under Martindale. They've been in the top eight in rush defense all three seasons under Wink Martindale. Now, specifically when it comes to 2020, they're allowing 18.9 points per game. That is second best in the league. 330 yards per game, that's seventh best in the league. 109 rush yards per game, that's eighth best in the NFL. And 221 passing yards per game, that is sixth best in the NFL. Some other notes here on this Wink Martindale defense. They blitz more than any team in the NFL. And they run more man coverage than any other team in the NFL. Something to keep in mind when we talk about a blitz-heavy defense here in Baltimore. Again, I said they blitz the most of anyone in the league. 45% of the passing attempts they face, they send blitzers. The Bills have been facing blitz-heavy defenses all year long. So let me tell you about some of the defenses that the Bills have faced and where they rank when it comes to blitz frequency. The Miami Dolphins, second most aggressive team in terms of blitz frequency. The Steelers, third. The Cardinals, fourth. The Jets, sixth. The Chiefs, eighth. The Seahawks, ninth. And the 49ers, 10th. The Bills have been facing the blitz all year long, And the Ravens are just the next team that is blitz heavy that they'll have to face. And I'll get into that a little bit more here in a moment when I talk about the keys. But, you know, this is a blitz heavy man coverage defense. One other thing here that we got to establish. I mentioned a moment ago that this team is only allowing 109 yards per game on the ground. That is eighth best in the NFL. But the reality is they're giving up 4.6 yards per carry. That's the same as the Bills. So if you think the Bills have a bad run defense, they're giving up the same amount of yards per carry as Baltimore, the seventh most in the NFL at 4.6. Quite the contrast from the Colts, who the Bills faced last week. They allow 3.7 yards per carry, and that's 31st in the NFL. So the Baltimore defense is really good. I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but their volume stats when it comes to rushing defense don't tell the whole story. It's more about what you can learn from that yards per carry, which is not very impressive at 4.6 yards per carry. Let's talk about the personnel that they have. This is unbelievable personnel. They've got this blend of physical tanks up front. They've got speed on the second level. They've got dynamic pass rushers. They've got ball-hawking defensive backs. So it's a tough defense to deal with here. On their defensive line, Calais Campbell, who is, I think, one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL and has been for a long time. Brandon Williams might be the best run-stuffing defensive tackle in the NFL. Derek Wolfe is a beast at five tech. They play him on the edge. They'll play him a little bit on the interior. He came over from the Denver Broncos. Really, really outstanding in terms of defending multiple gaps against the run, and he gets some pressure on the quarterback as well. Then you'll also see some Justin Ellis as well when it comes to the rotation with their down linemen. Off the edge, they traded for Yannick Ngakoue. Remember all the hype about the Bills potentially being interested in Ngakoue, and then he got traded to the Vikings, then he got traded to the Ravens. Well, Ngakoue's been very good. He's a guy that brings a lot of speed off the edge, and you know, you got to make sure that you get to your set points, because he's a guy that can put a lot of stress on your offensive tackles to maintain the width of the pocket. They've also got Matthew Judon, who's been very productive for them. More of a power rusher, but he's got really heavy hands and knows how to clear contact. Tyus Bowser gets some run on this defense, and he's got a lot of athleticism. And then Pernell McPhee, who is kind of a do-everything edge for them. He can play the run very, very well, and he's an underrated pass rusher. So, I mean, they've just got guy after guy after guy that brings something to the table that's difficult to deal with. At off-ball linebacker, they've got a couple of rookies. Patrick Queen, their first-round pick, and then Malik Harrison, a day-two pick out of Ohio State. Those guys are a couple of prospects that I liked quite a bit coming out. I think they both kind of had their struggles but made some splashy plays this year. But, you know, that's kind of their future there and the present. You know, young guys, they'll lack some discipline at times. Patrick Queen has missed a ton of tackles this year and had some issues in coverage. But, you know, the raw athleticism and speed and range that he provides on the second level behind all of those really outstanding down linemen, you know, he's a potent playmaker, and he's going to be a real force once everything comes together. I mentioned Malik Harrison. They also have L.J. Fort, a former Steeler, had spent some time with the Eagles and was really kind of found a home on this Ravens defense. Kind of a situational guy, but a do-your-job kind of player. At cornerback, they are deep and talented. Marlon Humphreys, their top corner, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, might be the most physical cornerback in the NFL. I think he's the best press coverage corner in the NFL. He's forced 8 fumbles this year. And if you catch the football against Marlon Humphrey, he punches. He literally throws hands to get the ball out. So something to keep in mind if you're Stephon Diggs or John Brown or whoever is going up against Marlon Humphrey, he's going to punch the football every single time that you try to catch it. So super physical, aggressive guy, a throwback type player, but my goodness, he's outstanding in man coverage. They also have Marcus Peters, who's a very good man coverage corner. He's got loose hips. He's got quick feet. He's got tremendous ball skills. He's a bad tackler, so there's that. And he will make full speed mistakes in coverage. He'll usually have a blunder or two per game in coverage, and so you got to make him pay for that. And you also have to force him to tackle. He does not want to tackle. He's allergic to it. So it's good if you can put him in situations where he's isolated in space and has to make a tackle. Jimmy Smith, a longtime defensive back that they've had there, They mix him in at cornerback, and they also have a very good depth player in Anthony Averett, Alabama, former Alabama cornerback that you know, is physical and was kind of raw coming out, but situationally he's really shined. So, you know, the Bills want to go 10 personnel, and they've got the guys on defense in terms of cornerbacks that can really match up with the Bills. So you're going to have to win some routes. You're going to have to make some throws against this really good cornerback room that the Ravens have. At safety, they have Deshaun Elliott and Chuck Clark, both very sound safeties. Deshaun Elliott, first-year starter for them, stepping in for Earl Thomas, who they cut before the season and nobody signed. And then Chuck Clark has really come on over the last few years, developed into a quality starter there on the back end. So good pair of young safeties, really good cornerback situations, some speed and range on the second level with some young linebackers, dynamic edge rushers, and physical run defenders on their down linemen. So a tough group to deal with. But what are my keys? I've got five things written down. Number one, man beaters. They're going to run man coverage. That's what they do. This is why you got Stephon Diggs and John Brown and Cole Beasley. It's four games like this, right? Last year, the big book on Josh Allen was he struggles against the cover zero man coverage, and he needs guys that can separate and get open and beat man coverage quickly to give him answers when teams do that to him. Well, he's answered the test. He's aced the test this year. But this is kind of the poster child, if you will, for that style of defense, that aggressive cover zero man coverage. Like, this is the one. This is the big test. And you will see, right? I mean, Josh has done really well against it this year, and he's faced it quite a bit. But this is the ultimate test when it comes to beating man coverage. And so, number one, beat man coverage. Number two, Josh be Josh. We talked about this being a blitz-heavy team, the most in the league. Well, Josh Allen's been blitzed a ton this year. The most, 244 times. Josh Allen is the most blitzed quarterback in the NFL. And you know what? He's been outstanding when he's blitzed. His numbers, he completes 66.2% of his passes, 7.8 yards per attempt, 18 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and a passer rating of 111.6. He's been answering this test all year long. Keep doing it. Number three is test the run defense. You know that I'm not looking for a ton of rushing attempts, but their per-carry run defense is below average. See what they're made of. See if there's some space to work with there in the run game. Again, I'm not looking for volume, but I'm looking for effective, selective runs. Number four, this team missed 147 tackles this year. That's the second most in the NFL. It's more than the Bills. Their biggest defenders are Patrick Queen and Marcus Peters. See if they'll tackle. Challenge that. Number five, I wrote down protect the football. These guys are ball hawks. They go after the ball. They punch the ball. They have the most forced fumbles in the NFL this year. Be aware of it. Protect the football. Two hands on the ball, Devin Singletary. Josh Allen, don't be loose with the football. Wide receivers, protect the ball when you catch it because they are coming for it. They're specialists. Real quick, let's talk about the special teams here. Their kicker, Justin Tucker, he's elite, best kicker in the game. 90.7% of his kicks are made for his career. He is near automatic. He missed one last week. It was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Their punter is Sam Koch. He's been their punter since 2013. You know, John Harbaugh comes from a long history of being a special teams coach. Their special teams across the board are outstanding, and this is a punter that he really likes. He's been there for a long time. Over 41 yards net average for his career, and only allowing 4.8 yards per return this season. Only one touchback all year long. Sam Koch is an outstanding punter. Their kick returner is a rookie, Devin Duvernay. Had a great year, averaged over 27 yards per return, had a touchdown. He's got 4.3 speed. He's dynamic. I'm not interested in seeing him return the football. Their punt returner is James Proche, 8.6 yards per return this year. He's not very dynamic athletically, but he's a pretty sure-handed guy, kind of do-your-job type punt returner. So not as dynamic as Duvernay, and they have let Duvernay return a few punts this year, so I'm anxious to see if they get him a little bit more involved because he's been so good as a kick returner this season. So there you have it. That's the Ravens. A lot of really difficult things to deal with. Obviously, their run game is first and foremost, and then, you know, you can sell out and stop the run, but Lamar Jackson's still a very capable thrower of the football, and he's really good, you know, extending plays and making things happen off script, and he himself is an amazing runner. Physical offensive line, and defense is just loaded at all three levels with challenges, and so the Bills have a tough opponent ahead of them here. And in a lot of ways, I'm really anxious to see how this goes, because you think about the acquisition of Stephon Diggs and how much of an emphasis there was this offseason, and Josh Allen being able to handle the blitz and handle the cover zero and man coverage. And, you know, they've kind of built a team that is supposed to be able to thrive in these situations. And so, you know, I think it's going to be a good test. You know, we'll find some things out. I mean, if the Bills handle this game, my goodness, like, I don't doubt that they're for real. I've said repeatedly that they can win any game. They can beat any opponent in the NFL. But, I mean, this would be a real validation of where this team is if they come out with a dub against the Baltimore Ravens. And, obviously, this is a Ravens team that's very hungry, right? They were sensational in the regular season last year and went one and done. They went one and done 2 years in a row in the postseason, and you know, they were kind of up and down this year, started hot, had a lull in the middle of the season, then they finished strong. They've won six in a row, and you know, they're looking to kind of prove themselves and say that, you know, hey, we're one of the best teams in the AFC, and you know, we could beat anyone too. And you know, we're sick of spoiling really good seasons by not having postseason success. And now that they got that win behind their belt, you know, they're hungry, and, you know, everyone's got their eyes on the Chiefs. Well, the Chiefs got to beat the Browns, but the winner of this game goes to the AFC Championship game and probably going to have that chance to dethrone the Chiefs. And you do that, you go to the Super Bowl. So the stakes are high, and it's going to be interesting. We will continue getting ready for this game tomorrow with our crossover preview. I'm going to speak with Kevin Ostreicher, the host of the Locked On Ravens podcast, for his perspective on this Ravens team that should further help us be prepared for this game on Saturday night. So don't miss that. I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.